Good morning. It's April 5th and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. In a heart-wrenching turn of events, the fourth stage of the Baskenland Rundfahrt race in Spain on April 4th was marred by a catastrophic crash that ensnared 12 riders, casting a pall over the cycling community. The incident not only halted the race, but also left several top cyclists grappling with severe injuries, spotlighting the inherent dangers of professional cycling. Among those caught in the fray were Tour de France champion Jonas Vingegaard and Australian rider Jay Vine, who both sustained serious injuries. Vingegaard's injuries included a broken collarbone and several ribs, while Vine faced cervical and thoracic spine vertebral fractures. Their conditions underscore the severity of the crash that also impacted other renowned cyclists like Remco Evenepoel and Primoz Roglic. In response to the chaos, race officials made the decision to neutralize the event, culminating in a sprint finish involving only 6 riders. Louis Mainters emerged victorious in this stage, albeit with a heavy heart, sharing the sentiment of sadness that pervaded the cycling community. The accident has sparked a wave of concern and disappointment, with team manager Patrick Lefevre attributing the tragic outcome to the treacherous road conditions that the cyclists faced. As the cycling world reels from this incident, there's an anxious wait for further updates on the conditions of the injured riders. The community is rallying for their recovery, hoping for positive news in the days to come. In a related incident, cyclist Leonard Kamna is reported to be in stable condition, following a collision with a car during a training ride in Tenerife. Adding to the concerns for cyclist safety, both in races and training environments. In a twist that reads like a plot from a television drama, the defamation case involving former TV producer Taylor Auerbach and Bruce Lehrmann has escalated with allegations that could shake the core of Australian media. This case, already thick with legal complexities, has now veered into accusations of illicit activities and questionable journalistic practices. Taylor Auerbach has come forward with claims that Bruce Lehrmann was seen purchasing cocaine and hiring sex workers. Auerbach, who aimed to secure an interview with Lehrmann for Seven's Spotlight program, detailed how Lehrmann allegedly invoiced Seven for a bender in Sydney that included cocaine and sex workers, along with receiving benefits for exclusive interviews. These revelations have not only cast a shadow on Lehrmann's credibility, but have also led to a delay in the defamation lawsuit against Network 10 and journalist Lisa Wilkinson. The trial is now delving deeper into Lehrmann's actions, examining the potential legal ramifications for all parties involved. In response to Auerbach's testimony, Seven has issued a statement emphasizing that the behaviors described do not align with the network's culture, clearly seeking to distance itself from the allegations. As the legal battle continues to unfold, with Auerbach set to provide more testimony on Friday, the eyes of the public and media are closely watching, waiting to see how this case will impact the landscape of Australian journalism and legal accountability. As Sydney and the east coast of Australia brace for the impact of a black nor'easter, the region finds itself at the mercy of intense rainfall and the looming threat of major floods. This deadly storm has not only put the spotlight on the immediate dangers of severe weather, but also on broader national concerns ranging from energy strategies to defence readiness. The black nor'easter phenomenon is bringing severe weather warnings, including gale force winds and the potential for life-threatening floods, particularly around the Hawkesbury-Nepean River. Authorities are urging the public to avoid non-essential travel, highlighting the seriousness of the situation. Amidst this environmental crisis, the Australian government is navigating other turbulent waters. A new national energy strategy is being launched, and there are considerations for cuts to defence programs in the upcoming budget. This comes at a time when there's a growing call for Australia to take a stronger stance against Israel. Additionally, delays at US shipyards in building new submarines have surfaced, raising concerns about Australia's defence plans that include the acquisition of at least 3 submarines. This convergence of events, extreme weather, national policy shifts, and international defence concerns underscores a period of significant challenge and change for Australia. The immediate focus remains on safeguarding lives and property against the devastating potential of the Black Nor'easter, while the broader implications of these concurrent developments are likely to influence the country's strategic direction for years to come. In the face of logistical hurdles, the United States remains steadfast in its commitment to the AUKUS deal, aiming to provide Australia with nuclear submarines. This move is seen as pivotal in maintaining balance in the Indo-Pacific region, despite encountering significant challenges along the way. The backdrop to this commitment involves a series of challenges that the US is currently facing, including budget cuts, shipbuilding backlogs, and construction delays, particularly with the Virginia-class submarines. These issues have raised concerns about the feasibility of the AUKUS pact, which is a cornerstone in the strategic partnership between the US, Australia, and the UK, especially aimed at countering China's growing influence in the region. At the heart of the matter is Australia's plan to acquire at least three submarines in the 2030s to bridge a capability gap. However, the delays in the US shipbuilding program have cast doubt on this plan. The process is further complicated by the requirement that the US President must certify to Congress that transferring submarines to Australia will not degrade the US's own undersea capabilities. Australia's strategy involves purchasing two secondhand submarines and one new one, with the secondhand ones expected to have 18 to 27 years of service life remaining and the new one expected to serve for a full 33 years. To compensate for the submarines sold to Australia, the US Navy plans to build additional submarines. Despite these challenges, the US government is exploring solutions to uphold its commitment under the AUKUS deal. The pact is seen as a game changer in the strategic dynamics of the Indo-Pacific, emphasizing the importance of delivering on this commitment to ensure a counterbalance to China's regional influence. In a bold critique, Mike Ferguson, the architect of Australia's student visa scheme, has called the government's risk ratings-based visa prioritisation system Frankenstein's bride, signalling deep flaws in a system designed to manage international student admissions. This critique comes against the backdrop of universities facing significant financial losses and enrollment cancellations, a situation that has sparked a wider debate about the fairness and effectiveness of Australia's approach to international education. The heart of the issue lies in the government's use of risk ratings to prioritise visa processing for certain universities, a move that has inadvertently led to 10 universities struggling to recruit international students after their risk ratings fell. This has not only impacted the university's financial health, but also raised concerns about the potential damage to Australia's reputation as a premier destination for international education. Voices from within the sector, including the International Education Association of Australia and the Global Reach Education Agency, have echoed Ferguson's criticisms, questioning the fairness of the system and its implications for Australia's global standing. Ferguson's proposed solution calls for a more equitable system that mandates all prospective international students to demonstrate their English proficiency and financial stability. This suggestion aims to level the playing field and ensure that the system serves its intended purpose of facilitating genuine students' access to Australian education. Meanwhile, the Australian government has floated the idea of imposing a cap on the number of international students, a move that comes in the context of student visa grant rates hitting their lowest in nearly 20 years. This situation underscores the need for a fundamental re-evaluation of the visa framework to ensure it aligns with the evolving needs of international education in Australia. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. We'll be back Monday with everything you need to know.